Let's take God's Word together and turn once again to that passage in Ephesians, the New Testament book of Ephesians. And I don't know where the Lord will take this sermon, whether we will continue it in the weeks to come or not, but I have become very much aware over the last week, last couple of weeks, very keenly aware that we are in a battle. Now, we've talked about this before, but I want to speak a little bit more at length on this. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, and he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren," meaning to conclude all that he's written, to wrap it all up, he ends with some very important truth. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We wrestle. I've underlined those words. We wrestle. That word wrestle is the Greek word pale, which literally is a contest, a match between two men, in which each one is trying to throw the other one down, and the winner is decided, the victor is declared, when he's able to hold his opponent down with his hand on his neck. That's this fight. That's that word that is being used, the specific word for a specific contest. And this is what Paul says you and I are in. We're not here to play patty cakes. This is not a game. It's not a cruise. It's a fight. And if Satan gets his hand on your neck, he's not letting you up. He's not going to let you up once he's declared the ruler and the leader and the winner. He wishes to put his hand and his foot on your neck and stomp it until you are extinguished. Nothing could be more urgently important to God's people right now than to understand this truth. We are in a fight. Not me, you say. Nope, I'm a pacifist. I don't fight. You are in a fight. Whether you want to be in a fight or not, whether you see it or not, you are in a fight. And if you don't see it, then you're defeated already. If you don't recognize that you are in the fight of your life, a fight for your soul, then you are defeated already. You cannot run from this battle. You cannot run from this war. It has come to you. And can I tell you, this war and this fight has come to you and I in a more intense way than it's ever come to God's people before. How can you say that? You say, God's people have always been. Absolutely. But there used to be a time, think with me for a second. There used to be a time when God's child could go home and be separated, shut the door, and be separated from the world. Now we go home and the world's inside our home. Television, radio, we carry the world in our pockets. You can't get away from it. Satan has turned up the heat and the intensity of this battle to such a degree that it is following you when you sleep. It's tracking your sleep. Your mobile phone tells you how many times you snored in the middle of the night. Honestly, this has come in a more intense flood in a way that's never come before. The fight of our faith has become more difficult than ever. And that's why, look here, that's why so many Christians are failing today. I've said this several times over the last week, but my football coach, my American football coach, used to say the last quarter is the most important of a game, of a match. They say in a war that the last thrust is the most important thrust in a war, and Satan has increased his thrusting ability. Satan has turned up the heat. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, he's come down in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. And do you know what Christians have done? Instead of acknowledging we're in the last quarter, turn up the heat. Instead of saying we got to get ready, put aside distractions, what we've done is we've relaxed. Never. Never has the Church of Jesus Christ been more intimate with the world than it is right now. Never in the history of Christianity have God's people been in intimacy with darkness like they are right now. Never. Just try to separate yourself from the darkness. Just try to take a fast from social media for a month. Some of you can't do it. Your thumbs start twitching. Try to rip the television off your wall and do without it. You can't do it. You and I are in a war. And we're carrying the enemy around us, with us all the time. Let's look at a couple of things. If we're ever going to fight this war and this battle, if we're ever going to win this parley, this wrestling match, then you're going to have to understand a few things. And the first thing is you're going to have to understand who your opponent is. Who are we fighting? Well, we begin to understand that by understanding who we're not fighting. It was not an accident that God put it like this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities. So before he lists the name of our enemy, he tells us who our enemy is not. Now, why did he do this? Why is it that God begins by telling us who our enemy isn't? Why does he articulate it this way? I'll tell you why. Because he knew that you and I would be prone to think that the enemy were the ones we were looking at. God knew that you and I were going to think, we were going to forever think that the enemies are those people that we know them by names, we know their faces, and we hate them. And he knew that we would forever be thinking that our enemy were people and things that we could look at. He knew that we'd think that Vladimir Putin was the enemy. He knew that he'd think that Joe Biden, that we would think that Joe Biden was the enemy, or Boris Johnson, or Trudeau, whatever you want to, whatever name you want to put there. He knew that we'd be thinking, we'd be setting our eyes on man and thinking that that was the enemy. We do that always, don't we? We look at man and think that that's God, or that's who we are following. We're always putting our eyes on man, and we put our eyes on man, on the enemy. We think that they're the enemy. And you couldn't be further from the truth. You ever seen a child do this before? I used to get so annoyed. A child sometimes will sneak up behind another child, tap him on the back, and go like this. You ever seen that before? I had a fellow that I worked with back when I was in Bible college. I was working my way through Bible college. I was a tree surgeon. And I had this job where I would climb the trees. And I'd put my spikes on, and they called it a saddle. And I'd make my way up a tree, and limbing it the whole way up, taking the limbs off all the way up, and then topping it. Well, I was up working in a tree one day, and I had taken a rest, turned the chainsaw off, flipped it on my belt, and was just resting up there. And one of my friends down below, he was a cheeky fella. There was some folks walking on the other side of the road, and I had a bright red t-shirt on. And he said, "Hey, look at me in the red t-shirt." And there I was, stuck up in the middle of the tree, and everybody's looking at me. And he was the one saying it. Now, you know, children do that, and sometimes adults are just bigger children. But do you know Satan does that? Satan is constantly trying to get you to think that the enemy is over there. Satan is constantly tapping you on the shoulder so you turn around and rage at somebody thinking that that's the problem. Well, it's Satan. Satan is the instigator. Oh, but that person lied to me. Who do you think worked in that person to make that person a liar? None other than the father of lies. Oh, but that person did this to me. Hold on a moment. Satan is at the root of it all. And the sooner you and I recognize that, the better off we'll be. The sooner you stop thinking that the enemy is your husband or your wife or your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law or that person over there. No. That's not the enemy. Now, no doubt about it, Satan is working inside of people. No doubt about it. But there's a deeper enemy. A real enemy. Satan knows that if he can get you fighting somebody else who is not your enemy at all, then he's already got you beat. Yeah. The first step in being ready to fight is knowing your opponent. And part of that is identifying who is not your opponent. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Chances are, if you can see it, it's not your enemy. I wonder how much time has been wasted attacking people. I wonder how much time we've wasted attacking people and personalities. And I wonder, while Satan continues his war, if it were against flesh, think about this. If we could fight this battle, if our enemies were those that we could see and we could touch, then some of us might be able to get a bit more victory, couldn't we? You think, well, if the enemy was in human form, well, we could knock him for six. But that's not the way it works. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We do fight. And it is against, look what he says in verse 12, it is against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's talk about our enemy for a moment. Satan, as you know, has been vanquished from heaven. Sent out. And forever, forever, he will be excluded from having preeminence in heaven. So therefore, he is determined to get it down here. So this first word that Paul gives us about our enemy, we wrestle against principalities. It has much to do with a hierarchy, much to do with a government and an order. And I want you to realize that your enemy is much more clever than you could ever imagine. And let me tell you this, because your enemy is spiritual and because it is deeply, deeply organized, because of that, you will never, ever get the victory in your own strength, which we'll see in a moment. If you think you're going to get victory by cleverly working all the details out and you're going to figure it all out, forget it. Because what you're up against now is something spiritual, far greater and stronger and mightier than you will ever be in your flesh. And the very first word, principalities, the Greek word is arche. It's the idea of the person of origin, the person of beginning, the leader, literally in reference to Satan himself, and therefore his hierarchy, his structure. In case you doubt it, there's a few passages in scripture. John 14 and verse number 30, Jesus speaking of this diabolical being says this, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Did you know? Look here. Satan has a structure and it's real. There's a demonic spiritual structure in the world today that is real. It's organized, it is effective, and it is strong. Jesus himself called Satan the prince of this world. It's a system of government. Think about it for a moment. If I was the prime minister of England, we'd all be in trouble probably, but if I was the prime minister, if I was a world leader, if I had a handful of trusted subjects, if I had a handful of people that I knew were loyal to me, and whatever I said, if I snapped my fingers, they'd do it. If I gave the order, they would fulfill it. I could get a lot done. Some of you have your own businesses. You know exactly what this is like. If you've got three or four men that you can trust, you can get a lot of work done, can't you? Yeah. But can I tell you something? Satan does not just have three or four men that he can trust. The Bible says we understand that he took one third of the angels with him when he fell. So Satan has tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of angels, once angels, powerful created beings, who are now at his beck and call, and they are as loyal as any man has ever been loyal to another superior. Think about that. You think about how much work he can get done when he can snap his fingers and they go. Look here, let's take it a step further. The entire human race is at his beck and call. You, if you've never been born again, you are a subject to Satan. I am not. How dare you say that? I'm not a subject to Satan. You are. I'll tell you why. Every time you pick up a glass of alcohol to get drunk, you are doing his work. You are his subject. You bow the knee to Satan. You said, Hail King Satan. Every time you pick up a glass to get drunk, every time you open your mouth to slander somebody, you're bowing the knee to Satan. Every time you gossip and backbite, every time you steal, you are doing His work. Can you not see that? That's why the world is so dark, because Satan is the prince and power of the air, and you bow the knee to him. He's got a system. People who obey His orders. He has one desire, and that is that He might be recognized as God. He wants to be God. He has a law. Romans chapter 8 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death." He has a law of sin. By the way, His law is, we think, we look at it as human beings and think, boy, what a wonderful thing. We can do whatever we want to do. I can go get drunk anytime I want to get drunk. I can slander somebody anytime I want to slander somebody. I can take whatever I want to take and not buy it. What a wonderful law. But what He doesn't tell you is that death and destruction follows. He has an organized government. There's one desire, Revelation chapter 13. I want you to listen to this verse. It speaks of all of life, all of time, but especially in the time in the last days. But in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4, "And they worship the dragon which gave power, and the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is likened to the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" You read later on about those who've taken a mark, whatever that mark may be, and they worship the devil. Oh, I would never worship Satan. Oh, gives me shudders to think about it. But every time you bow the knee in sin, you are subjecting yourself beneath his will and his way. Did you ever think about that? Every time you bow the knee, every time you give in to sin, who do you think established all of that? That didn't come from God? Do you realize how serious sin is? Stop making excuses for sin. You wrestle against principalities. We are in a fight against a system that is far more intricate than you could ever imagine. He goes on. Principalities and powers. It's powerful. Do you know that Satan is powerful? You are a fool to think that you are stronger than Satan. You are a fool to think you can get in a wrestling match with Satan without God and that you can whoop him. Michael the archangel dared not bring a railing accusation against him. The highest of God's angels would not accuse Satan. And think about how loosely we talk about him all the time. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. How foolish. Powers. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Luke chapter 11, Jesus calls him the strong man. Think about it. The strong man. And 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter calls Satan, he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Revelation 12, he's called a red dragon. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2, once again, he's called the prince of the power of the air. Prince of power. He's the prince of the power of the air. And 2 Corinthians 4, he's called the god of this world. He is powerful. It's time you woke up. It's time you recognize we are in a war against the most powerful being apart from Jesus Christ on this planet.
Amen. Amen.
We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers. Watch this. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This talks about his territory. Now, every once in a while somebody says, we live in a dark world. How many of you would agree with me? We live in a dark world. Do you know, anywhere there's darkness, that's where Satan is ruling. But only where there's darkness. His ownership and ruler, it's not even owner, but his rulership is only over darkness. So look, if there's darkness in your house, he's there. If there's darkness in your relationship, he's there. If there's darkness on your television, you've welcomed him in. If there's darkness on your radio when you're heading down the road, you've asked him to come into your car. Wherever there's darkness, he's there. Wherever there's darkness, Because he's the ruler of darkness. He's not the ruler of light, praise God. But he's the ruler of darkness. Look at that expression. The rulers of the darkness of this world. Thank God. Look here. Thank God it's just this world, not the one to come. His authority, his rule and his reign is coming quickly to an end. Very soon, when the Lord Jesus shall come, when he wraps up this whole scheme, throws it in the bin, it's finished for him. He shall be ultimately thrown into the lake of fire. We read in the book of Revelation about how he's thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. I don't understand all of that. He's brought out and then ultimately thrown into the lake of fire. That's where he's headed. Right now, and only right now, and only in this world does he have rulership. Only in this world. He's bound by time. God isn't. So be encouraged that this shall not last forever. The rulers of the darkness of this world, not in heaven. He's not ruling in heaven, only down here. He's bound by this world. The Bible says darkness. So look here, every time somebody's born again, every time somebody passes, the Bible says you pass from darkness unto light. You know what happens? The moment you are born again, God reaches his almighty hand down into the darkness, grabs a hold of you by the scruff of your neck, pulls you out and puts you into light. So no longer are you a slave in darkness. Some of you today need to be set free. Some of you today need to come to the light of Jesus Christ. And wherever there is light, Satan has no dominion. So if there's light in your heart, if you've been born again, then the light of the glorious gospel of Christ has shined into your heart and he has no dominion. Think about that. That's why the Bible says in Corinthians that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their hearts. Satan's doing his best to keep the light out. And some of you today, Satan is working overtime to keep the light out of your heart. He is working hard. And right now, some of you could think of a million other places where you'd rather be. You don't want to be here. Maybe you don't want to hear this. And Satan is doing his best to put his gnarly fingers in your ears so that you can't hear, so that the light is pushed out, and so that darkness would prevail. But can I tell you, darkness cannot prevail against the light of Jesus Christ. There's one last thing that he says in that verse. We wrestle not against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Literally, this, wicked spirits. Talking about the nature of our enemy. They are spirits. You can't see them. Your enemy is spiritual. You can't lay eyes on it. You can't see it. And not only is it a spirit, but it is a wicked spirit. Wicked. Have you ever looked at something before? Have you ever been involved in something you thought, that is just pure evil?
Yes.
You ever seen that?
Yes.
I think we're seeing it more and more, aren't we? I've seen things recently that I've never thought I'd ever see. I've heard things that I've never thought I'd ever heard. And you know it's wicked. Evil. And it's increasing. It's getting worse. More wicked. More evil, if it's possible. More dark. And this is what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, says we're fighting against. Now, if you didn't know that, this morning is your wake-up call. Now, how do they fight? Because it says we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against this kind of an enemy. So what do we do? And that's why Paul starts this whole thing off in verse number 10 by saying, finally, my brethren, speaking to Christians, be strong in the Lord. He gives us two ways that we are able to fight properly. And he begins by saying, be strong in the Lord. Now, can I tell you what this is not saying? I've heard a lot of people say, well, what you just got to do is you got to let go and let God. You heard that before? That's nonsense. If you read the New Testament scriptures, over and over there's a command to fight. Over and over there's a command to work. Over and over there's a command to get after it. You say, oh, but we can't do anything. I know that. Before you're saved, you can't do anything. You're dead in trespasses and sins. But the moment you're saved, look here. If you've been born again today, you are the child, a child of God. You are a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's given you everything you need to fight. He's given you everything you need to live this Christian life. So stop saying you just got to sit back and let God do it. Because God tells you, get up and fight. God tells you, fight the good fight of faith. God tells you who you wrestle against. God tells you to stand, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look, if you lay down and do nothing and you hope that God's going to swoop out of nowhere and all of a sudden save the day, my friend, you're deluded. You've been called to action. You've been called to live a holy life. You've been called to put down those things that are causing you to stumble. You've been called to say no to that which is wrong and yes to that which is good. You cannot expect God to come in and do it all. Fight. Work. Labor. Out of the grace of God. Out of this. Here's what it says in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You find your strength not in your flesh. Look, before I was saved, before you were saved, we thought we were strong based on how much we could bench press. We thought we were strong by how many boxing matches we could win. We thought we were strong by maybe the intellectual capacities that we could use on the internet to sort things out. We thought that's where our strength lied. But now you're strong in the Lord. Your strength comes from above. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. It doesn't mean you lay down and hope that God comes and rescues you. No, it means you get up and you fight in His strength. And the strength He's given you, and He is giving you. What has He given us? Well, if you've been born again, He's given you His Spirit. Now, have you ever thought about what that means? If you have been born again by the Spirit of the living God, if you have the new birth, new life, inside of you is the Holy Spirit. You know who that is? Some people say, that's a force. That's a real force. No, no, no. That's a person. That's God. God lives inside of you. How could you not win if God is inside of you? Jesus said this before. The scriptures talk about Jesus being, in Him is all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. In Jesus, all the fullness of God. God Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was living and dwelling in Jesus. When He walked on this earth, all of God was in Christ. It's an amazing concept. Boggles my mind that flesh could contain such power. But it boggles my mind even further when you read the next part that says this, that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. All of God was in Christ, and now all of Christ is in you.
Yes, sir.
You have all you need. Oh, but I'm so weak. Yes, your flesh is weak, but He is strong. He is strong. So be strong in the Lord. You've been given His Word. Look, thank the Lord, you don't have to sort of wander out there blindly, not knowing what to do. He's given you His book, but if you're not reading His book, you're not knowing what's expected of you. Yeah. I sometimes read something and thought, oof. Like a dagger to my heart. You ever done that before? Thank the Lord for that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His power. You and I don't have any power naturally speaking, but spiritually speaking, we have all the power you could ever want.
Yeah.
All the power you could ever need. Every once in a while you meet people who think that they're hot stuff because they're very strong physically. Maybe they're a good boxer, maybe they're, whatever it may be, strong intellectually, and they think that their power, and they pride themselves on how strong they are. That's nothing. You remember what happened at the garden when Jesus, the night that Jesus was arrested? They said, hey, we've come looking for Jesus. And He says, I am He. And the whole Roman army fell on their back. He just opened His mouth. That power is inside of you, and you can stand in that power. You can live in that. Now, can I promise you something? don't be foolish to think that you can live in sin and access that power at the same time. That's the same thinking that Lucifer had. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There is a heavenly strength, a spiritual strength that is accessible to all of God's children. You've got it. You have it. Use it. Stand in it. Do you know what? You can never stand in His strength until you recognize you don't have any yourself. Did you catch that? You can't have His as long as you think you've got yours. As long as you think that you're going to figure these things out, and as long as you think you're clever and you're strong and you're able to, you might as well forget about it. You have access to His strength and His power and His might when you cease from your own labors. And you take His. And now you begin in the power of His Spirit to begin to labor in what He would have you labor in. The other thing he says, in verse 10, be strong in the Lord. And in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now, would you look here for a moment? Most Christians make this mistake. They emphasize one or the other to the neglect of the other one. So some people say, okay, we got to stand in the strength of God, okay? Just be strong in the Lord. Just be strong in Him. His strength, His power, His might. And to the neglect of what you need to do by putting on the armor. But then others will talk about the armor all day long. I put the armor on 6 times a day. And they got it on, they're ready for battle, but they never stand in His power and His might. Does that make sense? You need both. You need to recognize I can't do anything unless He gives me power. And because He's given me power, bring on the armor. That's like the little fellow that knows that as long as his father's backing him up, he's ready to fight anybody. He's ready to go into battle and draw hands with anybody. As long as he knows his father's back there, he's bigger than the rest of them. And that's the way we are to imagine into this fight that we're fighting. We understand that God is with us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? And therefore we put on this armor and we fight according to the strength and power that God gives us. You need to do both. Some of you aren't fighting. Some of you are sitting down and you say, well, I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, but you haven't put the armor on. You're at home. But others are out there ready to fight and do battle, but they think that their left hook is going to get them the victory. You need both. Strong in the Lord, put on the armor. We're not going to have time today to look at the armor. Maybe tonight, you probably could do a series looking at the armor. There's a beautiful Puritan book called The Christian in Complete Armor. Most of the times you find it in a 3-volume set. Sometimes you find it in one. William Gurnall, I think, is the title of the man who wrote it. It's worth getting and reading. Rich. Very rich. I'll go a little bit more. As long as you're not sleeping on me. 2 things. Be strong in the Lord. Take on the whole armor of God. Look what it says. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 2 things there. You cannot stand without the armor of God and without the strength of God. In fact, some of you aren't standing right now. You've laid down. I said a moment ago, every time you pick up a drink with the intention of getting drunk, every time you steal something, every time you blaspheme, every time you slander, you are bowing the knee to Satan, who is the prince and power of this world. You are subject to him. I said that a moment ago. Somehow, you've got to recognize your allegiance is no longer to him. You don't have to do what he beckons you to do. You used to be a part of his army. Just like those hundreds of thousands of devils that do whatever he tells them to do. You used to be a part of that army. He said, go do that. And you did it. Now, your mind is changing. You don't serve him anymore. So look here. The next time an impulse comes, the next time a desire comes to do wrong, by the grace of Almighty God and by the power of God, stand. Say, no thank you.
Amen.
No sir. You are no longer my master. I have a better master. Stand. Do you know that Christians today, there's ever been a time that believers have always needed to stand, but if there's ever been a time that Christians have needed to stand, it's been today. And unfortunately, most believers today are just bowing. Bowing in every direction. And not bowing to Christ. Bowing to circumstances. Giving in so easily. Quitting so easily. What happened to that tenacity of a believer? What happened to that inward zeal that if you get knocked down, you're getting up again? Because no matter how many times Satan knocks you down, you're never giving in to join his ranks again.
Amen.
By the grace of God, you will stand. But you won't be able to stand, unless you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and put on the whole armor of God. So that you can stand. And you're standing against his wiles. That's an interesting word. The word wiles means his devices. It has to do with his tactics. It literally means his methods. The word wiles in the original language means method. His cunning arts, his deceit, his trickery. The word devil means a false accuser, a slanderer. You can't stand against the slanders and the false accusations of Satan and his tricks and his devices unless you are standing in the strength of God and you put on the armor of God. You won't stand, you'll give in. Now some of you are here today by God's grace and maybe in 6 months' time you won't be here anymore. Maybe in 6 weeks' time you won't be here anymore. I'd like to think that this congregation would grow and grow and grow, but I wasn't born yesterday. I know that Satan is out to destroy you. And he's going to drag as many of you away as he possibly can. I've seen it. Some of you are not even aware of what Satan is trying to do with his wiles and his tactics. You're not even aware. And here's what happens. You'll get offended by somebody in this congregation. You may get offended by me. I've had people walk out many times and say, he was preaching at me. I can remember when Tommy Wall first started coming. He left in a rage one time, got up in the middle of the meeting. The first few months he started coming, left in a ripping temper. So I finished the sermon and I went home and he said, you were preaching about me today. I said, Tommy, I wasn't. I promise you I wasn't. Yes, you were. Who told you? I said, I'm just preaching the word. I promise. And I finally convinced him that that's the way the Spirit of God often works. And if you don't respond to it, Satan then works by saying, look, look. You may go to shake somebody's hand and you say, and then the person walks by you not because they ignored you, but because they were looking somewhere else. That person totally blanked me today. I'm never going back to that church again. He'll use anything. Oh, those Americans are loud and obnoxious. Oh, that church there, it's as Johnny Reed would say, it's all mixed up. It's too diverse. It's like a pack of Smarties. He'll use anything. Somebody left our church a while ago and several years ago and went to another church in a neighboring city. And the minister rang me up and said, this one to let you know that this family started coming to us. And I don't really know. This is the reason he gave for leaving. He said that your church was too busy and too diverse. He said, I don't know if that's an accusation against you or against me. Maybe his church wasn't busy enough or maybe it wasn't diverse enough. But don't let Satan be mindful. We are not ignorant of his devices. Some of you are. You've got to recognize every time those thoughts come into your mind, stop it. Stop it. That's from Satan. Stop it. Be more mature than that. Be more mature. Ah, do you see the way he did that? He's racist. Stop it. Stop it. Don't let it happen. By the grace of God, by the power of God, you stop it. I know why he said that. I know why she didn't do that. No, you don't. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is where the enemy is all around us, and the scriptures tell us that. So if you want to stand against the enemy, then you got to make sure that you recognize that it's His power and His might, and you put on the whole armor of God. Now, I do not want to go down this road right now because we need to take a sermon probably for each one. But look at what it says. I won't explain it all, but look at what it says. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Yeah. Would you look here for a moment? If this is not an evil day, then I don't know what is. Withstand. Withstand the onslaught. Withstand the pressure. Withstand the temptation. Some young people are being ripped out of our hands. They're being drug away. Social media, these devices are stealing our children. And they're looking at people nonstop trying to keep up with the Joneses. And they're being ripped away to hell. There's an onslaught, a war today that nobody can stand against unless they stand in the power of God. And so Paul says, God says, I want you to be able to withstand in the evil day, in the hour of temptation, in the moment of darkness, in the onslaught of it all, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Can I ask you, have you done all to stand? Look here. Have you done everything to stand? Have you done everything you can? You haven't done everything to stand if you haven't put on the armor of God. You haven't done everything to stand if you are not strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Can I ask you a question this morning? Here, I'm closing. You've heard me say that a few times. Are you strong in the Lord? Are you right now strong in the Lord? I'm not asking if you're strong financially. I don't care if you're strong financially. I don't care if you're strong in your job, physically strong. Are you strong in the Lord? Because that's what matters. Nothing else matters. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? John said something very interesting one time. He wished that the people that he was writing to would prosper as their soul prospered. John wrote that in one of his little letters here at the end of the Bible. He said, I wish you would prosper like your soul is prospering. Now look here for a moment. If your bank account was a direct reflection of your spiritual walk with God, would you be rich or poor? If your bank account matched the level of strength you have in the Lord, would you be okay? Some of us would be paupers. Some of us would be in a deficit. Be strong in the Lord so that you can stand. Stand, therefore. Stand. Some of you are in a battle, you don't even realize it. Some of you are in a fight and you're getting hit left, right, and center. You don't even realize it. You don't know why all these things are happening because you've never identified the enemy. And you have no strength to stand because maybe you've never been born again. Maybe you're not in the Lord and so you cannot stand. The Christian, child of God, put on your armor. Child of God, stand strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Who knows what's happening tomorrow? We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen today, but we do know who holds it all. And let's be strong in the Lord. We might be able to stand against Him. Let's pray. Father, we confess unto Thee our weakness. We are weak. Forgive us for ever thinking that strength in the flesh was power. Forgive us for ever thinking that having a lot of money made us somehow better or stronger. Forgive us for such foolish thinking. Forgive us for letting the thoughts of Satan become our thoughts. And I pray that today there may be some more souls rescued, brought from darkness into light. That we would no longer bow the knee to this world's wicked dark system. That we would no longer be those who follow the principalities and powers of this world. That we would not be found amongst that spiritual darkness, this wickedness in this world. Oh, deliver us, Lord. Help us to be strong, strong in Thee and in the power of Thy might. And help us to put on the whole armor of God. Teach us these things, Lord. Oh, God, we need to be taught. Give us a teachable spirit. Humble us, Lord. Take pride away from us. May we come as little children, teachable, impressionable, totally dependent upon Thee. Help us in this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name.